Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is We Have Communicators, episode 201, recorded on March 7th, 2014. Enjoy! All right, it's time for We Have Communicators, the show that covers all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me is Adam Christensen from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how you doing?
I'm doing all right.
You don't sound like you're doing all right.
Yeah, it's Friday. I've had a little cold.
Oh.
We're doing good. Okay. We're doing good.
Good.
I just don't know what's going on. There's nothing happening. I'm a little bored these days.
I found some things to talk about.
Okay, cool.
That's why we're here, right?
I mean, hopefully.
We could just chat about how excited we are for Macworld at the end of the month.
That seems to be trending too.
Is it?
On podcasts, I mean. Like people talking about how excited they are. And I'm sure the audience who can't go to Macworld loves hearing that.
Macworld.
Like, that's so awesome. You guys get to go and you're excited.
It's not expensive. Here's the deal. I think it's like, what, 25, 30 bucks for an expo hall?
Even the full passes are really reasonable.
They're like 300.
And well worth it if you're going to make it out there.
Jeff Gamet is also here from the Mac Observer, and so he's now allowed to speak and contribute to this discussion. Hey, Jeff.
I'm naked.
You can hear Jeff talk.
Yeah,
naked.
Like
I'm not really naked, but since it's an audio only show, everyone just imagine I'm naked today.
Oh God.
We did share a room one year at Macworld, didn't we?
We did.
Yeah.
People talked.
Did they? I wasn't aware of that. Let's see. I'm trying to look.
It's going to be nice that this year we can actually say you're there and it won't be made up.
Yeah, that's usually how it goes. We usually make it up.
That's true.
Because for the last couple of years, it's like, oh, yeah, I saw Michael. You didn't see him?
What? Oh, yeah, he was
here. He's here?
Yeah.
He's in the back room at Cirque, and you wouldn't believe what he's doing for $5 bills.
Exactly.
Footlongs.
Oh boy.
And people wonder why we get excited about going to Macworld.
Yeah, so $25 if you just want to hang out in the expo hall, and then you can like go to all the parties. And but even the conference pass is $300.
There's a lot of good sessions.
Yeah, Jeff is speaking like every day, I think.
Oh, it feels that way.
Is it 2 days?
Yeah, I'm speaking on, I think it's Thursday and Friday. So sessions both those days and podcasts, like live recordings of podcasts both those days too.
Wow. No one's tapped me for that, but I don't think anybody really knows I'm going.
Well, everyone probably assumes that we'll all just be saying you're there, even though you're not.
Yeah.
You could get in on it too. You just walk around and say, hey, yeah. I just saw Michael Johnston. He went around the corner that way.
Yeah, and then I could claim to be like, who, Bill Palmer?
Yes, I want you to totally be Bill Palmer this year.
And then I'll start doing some really uncharacteristic things that he would never do.
Yes, things that people will be really upset about.
Okay, yeah, so go to Macworld and
be someone else.
Yeah, and drink with us. Because that's always
right.
Fun. So Apple did announce a thing very recently. I believe it was this week, Sunday. It was a Sunday, wasn't it?
They announced something?
Yeah, the CarPlay. Well, they showed it off, and it's a thing. You can get it now.
It only will cost you $150,000.
It'll cost you a car that happens to have it.
Meaning a Ferrari.
Or a Mercedes.
Oh. It looks like the best implementation is actually in Volvo.
Oh, Volvo?
Yeah.
Oh, so $60,000.
Okay,
see?
Thank you.
So
price keeps going down. It's a bargain.
It is a bargain. So the deal with the CarPlay is you have to plug it in. You have to plug your phone in to make it happen, right?
What the hell? Yeah, wait. Let's talk about that. So there has to be a wire.
Yeah, it's going to connect through a lightning cable.
Mm-hmm. What year is it?
2005.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like,
Wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
We couldn't figure out how to make this work wirelessly.
Well, it probably had to do with delays and charging. I mean, you want to keep your phone charged and all that, right? I like plugging my phone in when I get in my car. Not a huge deal.
Okay, then also, why isn't there a dock then? Let's just dock it. Do we have to, like, can't
I can
we just
support
like,
a dock. I
have like a cool little thing that integrates it right into the dash or something?
That's the thing that I'm wondering about. If you're going to make me plug it in, why don't you just have a dock built in? So when I get in the car, I plug my phone in to the dock and it's done.
Is it going to be the old school thing where you had like the cable coming out, running out of the glove box or like the little center console?
Yeah, it is.
It up, there's like
it is like that.
So you got my super expensive car and a USB cable.
But you don't see it. It's hidden away. Now, okay, so let's
just talk. Glove box.
It's in the glove box or wherever. Now,
and also, wait, before we move on, just to talk about ugliness, do you guys see how the version of it looks inside the Mercedes?
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
Oh, it's
now.
Horrible.
It's not even, it's like somebody just stuck an iPad on the dash, on top of the dash, like just vertically, or, you know, like
I was thinking more like an Asus tablet duct taped to the dash. It looks horrible. Volvo, I think, has the best implementation.
You would say that because you're a Volvo guy.
I am, but I think Volvos what they've done looks really good.
Boxy, but nice.
Yeah. Boxy, but nice, and I've loved both of mine.
Am I the only one who knows that reference? I'm hoping Jeff did.
Oh, I totally know that reference.
I don't.
They're boxy, but they're good.
Boxy, but good.
Is it like a commercial from the 60s or something?
Oh, Michael.
We're back. This puts you back on the list of movies that are awesome that Michael has not seen.
Okay.
Yeah. Just you have to do a little homework on this one. So, Michael,
I'm not going to do it.
Yes, you are.
Just tell me the answer.
No. This is what's wrong with kids these days. Just tell me the answer.
Siri, tell me the answer.
All you have to do is Google, they're boxy, but they're good.
Yeah.
I better Google that real quick and make sure it comes up with what I
It does.
Expect. Man, all I had to type was they're boxy, and Google had it.
Crazy people.
It's a fantastic movie.
Two actors I don't know.
Dudley Moore and Daryl Hannah?
I've heard of these people. I'm already bored. Let's talk about this CarPlay thing.
Oh, my God.
So you can you get the basic apps that you can integrate, that it integrates with, your phone, the music, the maps, messages. And I guess that there are different implementations. So with the Mercedes, it seems as though there's a little wheel thing that you lay your... You drape your arm over in the center of the car, the center console, and use the wheel to jump around. And it looks like in the Volvo, it's a touch screen. Is that right?
Yes.
So that actually, you know, I'm looking at the Volvo one now, and that does look really cool. And there's also, it looks like integration with Spotify, the podcasts app. And
so you can listen to us in your fancy new Volvo.
Exactly. Yeah, and also Siri integration, of course, as one would expect. So you can say, "Hey Siri, take me to Macworld," and she won't know what you're talking about, so you'll have to rephrase that. But you can get up a map, and it'll you navigate with Apple Maps, and it looks like even in the Volvo, it has a separate display for turn by turn as well, right?
I believe it does.
That's pretty cool. And I would assume that works with the CarPlay as well. And so there have been reports talking about, well, of course, first of all, there's no Pandora support with CarPlay, which is interesting. It has Spotify, but no CarPlay. But then again, I think that things have been turning in the Spotify and RDO favor for quite some time, people just being able to call up what music they want instead of Pandora. But of course, there are plenty of Pandora people who like that. And it's been said that, and I think it was from the people who do iHeartRadio, that it's very it was very simple to do the integration for CarPlay. It's a very light layer for the integration there. Is there iHeartRadio support I sort of got the feeling that there is.
I don't remember hearing that, but it doesn't mean it's not there.
Sure. And it doesn't mean that there won't be SDKs coming out. I mean, you know, if it's not going to come out before WWDC, I would guess it will come out during WWDC if it is as light or as easy as they claim it is to.
There is iHeartRadio. You got podcasts, Beats Music, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Stitcher.
Okay, there you go. So you can definitely listen.
But no
to
Pandora.
Us. No Pandora. So
I'm assuming you get iPod Radio though, right? Or iTunes Radio.
I would assume you'd get iTunes Radio. That would make sense.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Through the music app. Yeah, it's there.
And Mercedes-Benz, they're also talking about how they would like to, by the end of this year, offer CarPlay as an aftermarket option.
So I'm hoping it's opened up as a big aftermarket option from a lot of different manufacturers, like head units and stuff like that. I don't see why it couldn't be.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, I guess there are a lot of people who put giant displays in their cars.
Yeah, but as you know, I was on the Mac show this morning, and Ewan goes, you know, you could just route out a hole and drop your iPad into your dash, and it's like, yeah, you can go that route too.
Yeah,
it'd actually be more integrated because I could build in a docking port and then just dock in my iPad and be done with it.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
Yeah, if you want to get all MacGyver with it.
Get a little Bluetooth controller, strap it to the steering wheel.
You know MacGyver, but you don't know crazy people.
Yeah. Do I get some points on the back end for that? Or?
No, you don't.
Okay, fair enough. You know, I want to... Okay, let's go to the South by Southwest app thing very quickly. Because there was an interesting rumor that came out, and I think it was John Gruber who said that we were going to be seeing iOS 7.1 this week because South by Southwest. Is South by starting this week or is that next week?
Next week.
Okay, next week. So his idea...
Actually, I think this weekend, but either way.
Either way. So his idea was that because there's going to be an iTunes festival, which is when? This weekend?
It runs part of next week.
Okay, so there's this iTunes Festival app, which Apple wants to have out there before iTunes Festival happens. And Gruber said that we were going to, it was going to require 7.1, and thus we would see 7.1 within the next week or so. Well, they released the app and it doesn't require 7.1. So
there you go. Gruber's sources were wrong this time.
Yeah, apparently they were. I thought that was pretty interesting. It didn't seem like Apple would create that sort of problem for themselves.
I think you're right. That doesn't seem like something they would want to do.
Yeah. Now, on the other hand, there's this. I wasn't familiar with this FTC mandate that Apple would have to set their store to
stun.
Yeah,
pew, pew, pew.
To make it so the in-app purchases couldn't be done by your 4-year-olds.
I like stun better.
Yeah.
Mommy, can I buy this app? No, Billy, you can't.
So, but I guess they have until March 31st to make changes that I guess... What are the changes exactly supposed to do? They're supposed to just make it harder for kids or people to accidentally make an in-app purchase.
Yeah, yeah. So my guess is the solution, ultimate solution, is just going to be to inconvenience everybody, and every time you need to make an in-app purchase, you're going to have to enter your password or something like that, and they're probably going to have to force it like every single time. That's going to be fun. Thanks,
FTC.
Yep. Get all up in my business because I can't figure out how to use the parental controls that are already there.
Yeah.
Built in.
Yeah, because we need to have the government babysitting us and our children. Hooray!
Yep.
So I guess they're scrambling to fix it.
I don't. It's more.
You should
like,
see the visual I'm creating right now to go along with their scrambling
like
to fix
a bunch
it.
Of Apple engineers running around Apple, like running into each other,
and like papers flying,
screaming like they're on fire, waving their hands in the air.
It's probably more like, oh yeah, we just need to flip that switch. We'll do it, you know, that night and push it out.
Sure.
Yeah. It'll be one of those. How long can we wait?
Yeah. Yeah.
They flip a bit switch that says you have to put your password in every time you make an in-app purchase. That's it. Done.
Right. Now,
And then kids will know their parents' password because the parents will get tired of the kids going, mommy, 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 mommy. And so they'll give them the password and that'll be that.
Well, you know, I guess there's supposed to be a way to switch that off or that requirement off within settings and also revoke the ability at the same time. So there's the convenience factor that one can turn on, but at the same time, part of the mandate means that you have to also make it very easy to turn that off again. So you have to put the password in every time. So, so I'm guessing that ability will be in there and people won't realize it and get annoyed when their kids ask them too often.
Wait a minute. So they're still going to let them have a way to turn it off. It's just changing the default.
It seems that way. Yeah.
So it just has to default to
password every time.
What the frack?
Hmm.
Whatever. Boring.
Yeah. Okay, moving on to something a little more interesting. Our moment of zen, if you will.
I'm very zen.
Good.
Of course, I'm not wearing clothes.
So you'll like this video. Did you guys see the little video of the Israeli Prime Minister inside Apple? Walking around. So I guess they allowed a camera crew in the executive meeting room at Apple. So you get to see like what it looks like inside this situation room that Apple has.
Cool.
It's pretty neat. It's got tables like the Apple Store and cookies and smart water. Of course, everybody has smart water.
Because it'll do your math for you?
No. Just has electrolytes.
That sounds gross.
That's all. No.
I don't want smart water.
Electrolytes are added for flavor.
Yeah, I want my water to taste like water.
No, it does.
But you just said they added electrolytes for flavor.
The thing is, it's been vaporized. And they collected the pure water. But see, what you are used to is just drinking water from a stream, I assume. I assume you just put your... In the morning, you wake up and go outside and put your face in a stream.
Right.
So you're used to the electrolytes. If you drink water that's been vapor distilled, then you'd say, this is gross. And then that's why they put the electrolytes in there for taste. And that's why...
I'm slightly more evolved than Jeff. I have a goat's bladder that I can fill up. Carry around with me. I don't have to stick my face in the stream every day.
That's smart.
Oh, look at me. I've got a goat bladder so that I can drink my water like a civilized man.
Oh, boy.
I don't know what's up with me today.
Okay. I don't know what
we're talking about. Smart water. No, Apple's executive conference room, which
it's fancy. Check out the video. It's in the links. You'll be able to see.
Of course it's fancy. It's
yeah, it has electric water in it. Of course it's fancy.
Smart water, Jeff. Smart water.
It'll do my math.
Okay. You can just continue to believe that.
I'm gonna get one of those bottles of water and give it word problems. Two trains are traveling in opposite directions.
We'll see how smart it is.
I hate those. Tim Cook says that the Sapphire facility is for a secret project.
I think they're making battle armor for Bob Mansfield because he's working on secret projects.
Yeah, Bob Mansfield doesn't need battle armor.
Can you imagine how badass he'd look if he came stomping out of that facility wearing like sapphire glass battle armor?
That'd be pretty cool.
would just be awesome. I want this. I task you, fair listeners, to find a full body shot of Bob Mansfield and Photoshop sapphire glass body armor onto him. I want to see this.
I want to see it too.
I'm just going to take that scene from Young Sherlock Holmes and paste in his face on the night. Send it to you.
That's probably the most, that's the best that's awesome. Way to go, I think.
That's what it would look like.
Mm-hmm. Except like more rotund.
Yeah, rounder.
Yeah.
Slightly more depth.
Hey, he's just big boned, okay?
Okay. Yeah, he does give us really sweet products, so we won't make fun.
Much.
So,
how I guess much Bob Mansfield?
According to the a report from The Information, they're saying that Apple is working to expand Siri's third-party app integration for the iWatch. And I say that it's about damn time.
Can we have it for something other than the iWatch, too?
Well, I think the primary motivation is probably going to be the iWatch, but of course we're going to have it just built into the right. iPhone.
I was joking.
But yeah, it's been long enough. I'd like to see it now. It'd be real nice to do that.
I use Siri more and more. Siri's awesome.
Siri is great. And is it just me, or is it like a very polarized thing? Siri works great for you, or Siri works like crap for you?
Well, it's because you have to use it. That's the problem, is people don't understand. It's a learning system, so it learns your language. So the more you use it, the sort of better it gets. If you never use it, it's going to be really cruddy. And it starts out, I mean, you kind of got to get past it, right?
Hmm.
And every once in a while, it does weird stuff. But then you can just yell at her, and then she says funny stuff back to you, and then you just have a chuckle and you move on.
Yeah, I've had pretty good luck with Siri all along, and I do use Siri a lot.
Yeah, I do too. I was it's fun to try and discover what she can really do for you. Like I was having an argument over whether the Freedom Tower took over as the tallest building, second only to in the U.S., second only to the Sears Tower in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And so I said, "Hey Siri, what's the second tallest building in America?" And she told me that it, of course, is the Willis Tower, because dummies bought it from Sears and now they call it the Willis Tower. But yeah, Sears Tower. And she was able to answer that for me, and I didn't even have to look at Google search results. She just told me straight up, which is cool. And then I said, "What's the third tallest?" And then she got all confused.
I'm just hoping Wolfram just came out with some sort of new technology, and I'm hoping that gets rolled in, this Wolfram language thing.
That would be very cool.
I like Wolfram. They're doing cool stuff.
Yeah.
They help with my math, at least. Yep. Oh, so according to Jim Dalrymple, Mr. Nope... Mr. Nope / Yep, I guess. He put a nope on our prediction that the $25 gift card promotion that Apple's giving out with the Apple TVs it means that there's going to be no Apple TV soon. He said nope.
Who said yep to that? I didn't say yep to that. Did you?
I put that as a prediction
on the last show, right?
Yeah.
I don't remember agreeing to that. Did I agree to that?
I'm not saying you did.
If I did, I was drunk.
You were drunk.
Sweet.
No, because I didn't agree to it.
Okay. I just felt like lying, but it just kind of seemed like that. That's what, why else would you do that? But so according to him, it doesn't mean that there's an imminent Apple TV release, although he doesn't refute the possibility that there could be an Apple TV announcement before WWDC.
Yeah. I think the two are unrelated is correct. I mean, I think that's the right answer. To infer that because they're giving a discount, they're coming out with a new one, I don't think it's a ploy to clear out stock, like some people are saying.
Yeah. But at this point, what certainly is agreed upon is that the launch date is unclear. at this
it's
point.
Always unclear.
Because, well, I mean, if you look at it, of course, it I think this is the biggest gap between Apple TV launches, unless you count the gap between the beginning of time and...
Well, and let's face it, the 3 is just a 2
with games and apps and stuff.
No. I'm talking about the last jump.
Sure,
I don't even
sure.
think you can count moving from 2 to 3. It's like, oh, it's a little bit better and it'll do 1080p.
Well, if you count it that way, then we have a long way to go.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
So I've got my fingers crossed for one this
The other thing is, I mean, that update you're talking about and to play games and stuff like that, I think that's just a software thing.
I do, too.
Like, there's no reason the 3 can't have a Bluetooth controller and play games.
I think the 3 could certainly do that because, as we've seen, the 3 can handle a Bluetooth keyboard. Why not any more than that? Of course, the chip is not as good as what is going to come out next.
Yeah, it's not an A8 or anything like that.
Yeah, it's what, an A5, A4?
That's a good question. I forgot. I think it's, I want to say A5. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think it's A5.
I think it is too. So, yeah.
I guess it is kind of overdue for at least a processor update.
I agree.
But I mean, it feels like it should be more than that. I mean, if Apple's really moving it out of it's a hobby sort of thing, software and a new processor, I don't know if that does enough for it.
I think it does, though. I mean, what else can you do? Add robot arms or something?
Good point. Yeah, I don't know.
You totally could.
You could.
I guess what you're supposed to do is announce that it's a new Apple TV, and it's the size and shape of a large USB stick. Is that what everybody's doing?
Yeah.
It is what everybody's doing, but I'm not
The new
impressed.
Roku is just one of those, right?
Yes.
They're copying the Chromecast.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of like having Apple TV as a little box like it is.
Me too.
Yeah. It just seems like a really good design for that. Plus, it can sit somewhere where it will look nice, be unobtrusive, and exposes its IR port. It's not some dangly, boxy thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm laughing because I hadn't gone to look at the Roku thing. And the funny thing, the Roku stick, the remote is bigger than the device.
Does the Roku need a power cord like the Google thing does?
Probably.
No, a Chromecast needs extra power. It can't get powered off of the...
Yeah.
It has this big-ass wall wart that it comes with. Well, relatively speaking. Yeah, so...
I guess that would make sense.
USB port,
Yeah, sorry. HDMI doesn't carry power, right?
Right.
Is that the deal? Yeah, then I guess it would have to have some sort of thing. Power.
Yeah, so it just...
It's
clunky.
Dumber.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. It has the little dangly... Stupid. Forget it. Why? What's the point? Because it's hidden behind your TV?
I guess.
But then you got the little wire hanging out to the left. So now I'm looking at my TV and there's just a little wire sticking out past the bezel.
Yeah.
And looping back in.
You know, because that's elegant. That's fancy design right there.
Stupid.
Well, you know, when I think of elegant design, point. I think about Roku.
Well, I think Rokus are great, but, you know, I think that is funny. They're going with like the streaming stick thing. I think the set-top box still makes more sense. Just a little box. It's fine. It sits there with my other components or just right there tucked under the TV. Don't really notice it.
Yep.
Yeah, so I don't know what they could do. I mean, bringing it back, I don't know what they could do with the Apple TV to really bump it up. You're right. So, I mean, I think we're looking more processor in you know, app or game support being rolled into the software.
Yep.
And depending on what type of deals they or Apple gets with cable companies, potentially a slot for a cable card.
Maybe 802.11 AC support.
That would be nice.
I think they should build a router into it. Not really. I don't really think that they should, but that's what people say that might happen.
Huh. That doesn't make sense to me.
No, it doesn't.
Why?
If they merged it with the Airport Express, that gets interesting. So it can double as like a, you know, a Wi-Fi hotspot, and you can do your, I guess you can already do your AirPlay speaker stuff into it. Because people have those in remote areas, and so you often need to plug other components in now. Like in your stereo rack, there's internet connected components. So I guess if it could be an extender to your wireless network, and you could route in other, you know, stuff like your smart TV and things like that, that actually kind of does make some sense.
I don't think so. It's not going to happen.
But, well, I think they could do that without actually making it a full-on router.
Yeah, I don't like the idea of a router.
Well, because like I have where my Apple TV is in my bedroom, I have it right next to a 4-port, you know, switch, I guess is more technically what you want to call it. Right? Not a router. But I have other devices plugged into it, like my my transporter is plugged into that part of my network. So it'd be nice to not to have one extra box sitting there. That's all I'm thinking.
All right, well, then they need to do it just for you.
I agree. Let's do it for Adam. So
let's do it for Adam.
So
just
let's
stick 4 ports like you have on the back of your Airport Extreme, right? 4 little Ethernet ports on the back of the Apple TV.
Okay, you're drunk. It's not going to happen.
Mm. Now, as soon as you said Ethernet ports, now I'm thinking, okay, well, if you had other devices, like maybe you had a networked hard drive with as a media server,
or a PVR, or your networked Blu-ray player that has to get updates, and you want to hardwire everything. Because I know a lot of people hardwire their Apple TVs. I do. Mine's actually hardwired through PhoneNet for better performance.
Now I'm starting to see some value in this.
That's what I'm saying, is like all your components need to be connected to the internet now, and wireless is getting really crowded. Like in my house, there's just too many Wi-Fi things, and it just causes all kinds of trouble. So I'm trying to move as many things off of Wi-Fi that I possibly can into wired connections. I just put my wife's iMac on a wired connection using PhoneNet because we were having so many problems with it. And now it's perfect. I have no issues. So, I don't know. It'd be nice. I don't think they're going to do it, but I can understand where people are thinking. I can understand the thought process behind it, I guess, is what I was getting at.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to happen, though.
No.
All right. iDevice picks. I'm going to let Adam go this time first.
It's cool because I'm on all these shows. I get to double up. I'm going to use the same one that I used on the Mac show because I...
That's called recycling. You're green.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
You can tell he lives in California.
So I've been messing around with iBeacons.
Uh-huh.
For what purpose? I have no idea other than it's kind of cool to play around with. And the cool thing is that any Bluetooth 4.0 device can be an iBeacon receiver or transmitter. So there's a couple apps that you can get to combine your either Mac or your iOS device and turn it into basically an iBeacon. Mm. And there's an app called from Radius Networks called Locate iBeacons.
Is that one word?
Two words. And they also have a Mac app. Trying to pull it up now. I forget what the Mac app's called because I have it installed on my MacBook Air. But basically, I was able to take the app for the Mac and turn my MacBook Air into an iBeacon. And then I can You can also do the same thing with this locate iBeacons for iOS. You can turn your any iOS device that's Bluetooth 4.0 into a beacon. Okay, so that's cool. You've got a beacon, but then you also, of course, need some sort of app to do something when you come within range of that beacon, typically, right?
Right.
So there's an app and a web service called GeoHopper. And with GeoHopper, what you can do is you can set up, when it detects an iBeacon, you can set up notifications, you can set up triggers, you can have it launch like an Apple script to do all kinds of stuff. And so with these two things, you can actually start playing around with like iBeacons.
Huh.
And it's really cool and just kind of fun to play around with. So I just did a stupid little thing where it would, when I came within range of the iBeacon, so I set up my MacBook Air as the beacon, and then I set up my iPhone with GeoHopper, and when it came within range, it would trigger an Apple script that would actually play audio through my AirPlay speakers and say, you know, Adam has arrived home. Or when I left, Adam has left the building.
Wow.
Yeah. So stupid at that point. But I mean, you can imagine here, then you could, you know, you could write an Apple script that could call a web service, maybe if this, then that. And you could have it, you know, turn off lights if you have Wemo devices, or turn down your thermostat on your Nest, or, you know, like when you leave the house, or automatically put it into away mode. Those sorts of things.
So what's the best way to do it? Because it seems like there's GeoHopper for Mac and iOS, right?
Right. So GeoHopper for iOS is going to be the thing that if you want to get notifications, iBeacon notifications on your iOS device, you're going to want that. Because then when an iBeacon gets triggered, you can have that come up on your thing. And what's cool is you can, with GeoHopper, I haven't played around with it too much, but I believe you can also invite other people to participate in your sort of GeoHopper thing, and you can have, and GeoHopper will also allow you to just set up geofences as well. So you can, you know, without an iBeacon, just set up a standard old like geofence, and then everybody that you have invited, they can send notifications to you, right? So if your family's there, you could set up geofences for like your kids' school and for, you know, if they're in a club and an after hour program, stuff like that. And then when they get to those points, you could get alerted and stuff like that. So the iBeacon thing is just an extension of what GeoHopper is doing. The base thing with GeoHopper is you can set up all kinds of geofences all over the place for getting notifications.
Oh.
And then so with the Mac app is the thing that you can, when it receives it, the Mac app is the thing that you want to be able to script actions and stuff triggered to GeoHopper notifications. So the notification comes into the Mac app, and then when it recognizes it, you can trigger different actions based on filters, and you can like parse the text in it, and if it has certain keywords in it, then take certain actions and things like that. Again, so, I haven't played too deeply around with it, but because I was mostly interested in the iBeacon thing. And then all these companies, both Radius and GeoHopper, are selling little mini USB iBeacons if you want to buy them. I think they're about $30 a piece. So if you want a hardware device, it looks like those, you know, those little teeny tiny USB dongles that you would use for like a mouse, or, you know, for like a wireless mouse, or for like low energy Bluetooth, which is actually what these little things are, right? It's like a dongle and it sticks out maybe a millimeter, something like that. They're actually hardware iBeacons that you can configure, and then you just plug into a USB power source and you have an iBeacon in that location. So if you don't want to run, you know, an iBeacon as, you know, you're like an iDevice or another thing as an iBeacon, you can actually buy these things.
Huh.
That's cool.
So again, I don't know what you're going to do with it, but if you're curious about iBeacons and just playing around with them, it's a way to do it quickly and easily just with stuff you have. You already have your iPhone and your Mac.
Neat. So you would
GeoHopper and locate
for iBeacon.
For iBeacon. Those are my two picks. They go together.
Cool. And I'll add to that if you are going to Macworld, Rene Ritchie is doing a session on Thursday that involves iBeacons. So now I'm suddenly intrigued, and I may show up for that.
Well, I took it one step further. I haven't messed with it yet, but I have a I have a Raspberry Pi, and I also have a Arduino. And there's a company called Red Bear Lab that makes a low-energy Bluetooth shield for your Arduino that'll turn it into an iBeacon thing. And at that point, you know, you can, like, program all kinds of stuff directly on the chip.
Yikes.
To call web services and do neat stuff.
Yeah. So. Cool, cool. All right, so Jeff, what do you got?
Totally by coincidence, my pick today involves your Mac as well. And it's called iBetterCharge. It's a free app that you put on your Mac. And what it does is it monitors the charge level on your iPhone and iPad and iPod Touch, and then alerts you when the battery levels are below whatever threshold you set, so you remember to charge them. It also gives you a drop-down menu on your Mac to show you just what the current charge level is on all your nice. iOS devices.
Holy moly.
Totally yeah. need that.
Oh, man.
Because yeah. You never plug your devices in anymore. I mean, I never do. I don't know if you guys are like me, but I've often went to go grab my iPad and went, oh, I forgot to put it in, and it's at like 20%. And I need to go somewhere.
Yeah. So I can check my devices as long as they're on the network, because it's doing this through Wi-Fi. And so my devices can be scattered around my desk or around the office or wherever, and it'll still give me my notifications about the battery levels. When a device drops below a certain threshold, it will actually give you an alert on screen on your Mac.
That's great.
And, yeah.
And can you specify the levels?
Yes. Anywhere it's between 5% and 50%. So it's, I'm looking at it now, 5, 10, 20, or 50%.
Cool.
And you can set it to give you a notification pop up, play a sound, animate the icon in the menu bar. And you can also have it give you notifications when a device is, when it finishes charging, so it's fully charged. Which is kind of cool, because if you only have one place to charge and you need to get all your different devices charged up, you can get a notification so you can swap out and minimize your wasted time while you're trying to charge.
So this,
that's cool.
This only works if it's on the same LAN, right?
Yes.
Okay. But that means it also works right out of the box, because it's utilizing the iTunes connection.
Yes. There's nothing that you need to add. When you launch the app, it just gives you a nice little welcome screen the first time that explains what it does. And then it pops up in your menu bar, automatically sets itself to launch at login, and away you go.
Perfect.
Well, now, so will it go... So like, if I set it at 50%, will it tell me at every 20, 10, and 5, or just at 50?
I'm assuming just at 50.
Okay. So,
I haven't had it long enough to...
that is cool.
...to test and see what happens when I get below, 10%, because I have it set at 20% right now.
Yeah. Huh. So, and then I assume you have to have Wi-Fi syncing turned on in iTunes as well.
I'm assuming so, which I have for all my devices anyhow.
That is cool.
I can't imagine wanting to plug into my computer unless I absolutely have to.
I love it. It's called iBetterCharge.
And it's from Softarino.
Yeah, softarino.com/iBetterCharge.
And apparently they have a Windows version also.
They do indeed.
Smart name, too. Clever with a name.
They were clever with the name.
And it's free. How much better can you get than that?
Yeah, no kidding.
You can't. I don't think you can.
No, I don't think you can.
So my pick this week is an app that I haven't put to the test yet. But I will at the end of the month when I go to Macworld, and Adam laughs at me thinking that I can find $10 a day parking in San Francisco, and I'm having my doubts. But this app is called ParkMe. I believe it has a counter app or counterpart website, which is parkme.com.
Well, wait a minute. I should have caveated that. Are you like parking in someone's driveway?
No.
This is like one of those new social sharing things, like, hey, I've got a driveway that's clear. You can park in my driveway for $10 a day.
I wasn't aware of that. Is that a thing?
I don't know, but
it will be now.
Maybe we need to make that. Yeah. Wait a minute.
I think we will. Ooh, this looks like quite a... I'm looking at the picture of the lot that's $10 a day. Huh. Interesting. Well, anyhow. So...
Is it like I was thinking? Like, you can park here for $10 a day, but...
But your car might not be here.
Yeah, when you get back.
Yeah, it's kind of shady looking. So, anyway. ParkMe... is an app, and it lets you find the parking around, like, everywhere, surprisingly. Here in San Luis Obispo, you can find parking with this thing, and it tells you the prices of that, and that's not including parking meters, so it's parking garages, I should say.
That's cool. It looks like it'll show you how full or not full the lot is, too, in some cases.
In some cases, yeah. It seems like places like San Francisco and Chicago and places like that have support for that kind of thing.
That's cool.
ParkMe.com and ParkMe, the iOS app, looks pretty cool. We'll see how it works out later this month when I get my car stolen in San Francisco. But the app is
You'll
free.
Be fine.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll be fine. I'll
I'm just saying that's a great price for parking is really what
it
I'm
really
saying.
Is.
You can really get it for $10 a day in San Francisco. That's unbelievable.
Well, you know what?
Which is the only reason why I don't believe it.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Well, what I typically do in like what I have always done in Chicago is I would like park my car like in an inconspicuous spot at a giant Whole Foods where it has like a parking garage kind of thing. And then walk out through the Whole Foods, like, hey, I'm going to Whole Foods. Oh, what happened? I walked out. Oh, well, I'll be back later. And then I take public transportation. And so far, that's worked out for me. But I like to live dangerously. So, parking tips in an app. You can find all of our picks in the show notes at wehavecommunicators.com. You can review the show at iTunes and tell your friends, of course. We like that. Feedback at wehavecommunicators.com is the email address to which you can send your feedback, questions, comments, all that stuff. If you're going to be at Macworld, hit us up, let us know. And advertising's handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer. MacObserver.com, at Jay Gamet on Twitter, and Adam Christensen is at the MacCast, MacCast.com, at MacCast on Twitter, and member to MacCast.com.
Yes, sir.
And, yeah, so with that, we'll see you next time on We Have Communicators.
An iPod. An iPod. Internet. How are we going to communicate this? The stylus. We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No. Yuck. No. Who wants a stylus? Stylus. You have to get them and put them away.